Joining us right now, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. First of all, you are back in Wisconsin today, and I understand you're picking cranberries. Is that true?
Well, not so much picking them, but watching them be harvested. It was quite an experience for me. I'd heard about it. I'd seen it on TV and the television commercials, but I actually put on waders and waded into the bog and looked at some of the equipment and really got a flavor for how this all works.
And from what I understand, the first lesson is if they float, they're good.
That's exactly right. Although I didn't realize that they needed a little coaxing to get off the plant first, so that they kind of go through with what looks a little bit like a rake, loosen them up, and then they float to the top.
There's never a dull moment or a lack of an educational opportunity when you're out traveling the district, is there?
That's really the case. And frankly, this is one that's really, really important because Wisconsin is the number one producer of cranberries in the country. And as we review things like the farm policy in this country, when we were working on a farm bill, you know, there's not that many experts in the Senate on cranberries. I have a steep learning curve, and I'm ready to go advocate for that particular specialty crop.
Let's go right into the farm bill on that. That is something that has been stalled and delayed and extended, and I've heard it's frustrating for members of both parties because it's going nowhere. Where are we right now?
Well, I was going to say, who cares about how frustrating it is for members of Congress? What about farmers? They are the ones with the most at stake, and that's really what this is all about. It's about managing risk, and I think about people involved in agriculture who don't control a lot of what they have to contend with. They don't control the weather. They don't control the price of their seed if they're planting annuals. They don't control the price of their feed if they're feeding livestock. And they often don't have much control at all over the price they get for their product. And so they need the farm bill to pass so that they can help manage their risk. And that's really the bulk of what the farm bill is in terms of the ag policy is risk management tools. I am heartened by the fact that there are now active discussions going on between the House and the Senate to resolve the differences between each House's version of the farm bill. But I'm hoping that now that we're emerging from harvest season, that my colleagues will be hearing a lot from the agriculture community about how important it is that they get this job done.
Can you tell us, in a nutshell, what are the big differences between the two proposals out there right now?
Well, probably the biggest difference, and the one that's garnered a lot of attention recently, is the very different way in which the House chose to deal with nutrition programs. Let me just give a little bit of a history on that, is that many, many years ago, the urban and rural representatives in Congress decided that we ought to work together on nutrition policy and agricultural policy, that they ought to be part of one big bill, and that it would really lead to working together. And for the first time in many, many years, when the farm bill went over to the House, they separated it into two separate bills, a nutrition bill and an agricultural bill, as if the two topics weren't connected. Well, they are intimately connected. And I think what you'll see as we try to resolve the differences is they'll be reunified into one piece of legislation. But then I think the biggest additional significant interest is the level or difference between the two bills is the level of funding for nutrition programs. And the House, for whatever set of reasons, really devastated the nutrition program budgets. And it's as if they didn't realize that there are people who are hungry in this country, that there are people who, because of the recession, lost work and are having trouble making ends meet and needing this extra assistance. And I hope that's one that we can basically end up where the Senate was when we passed our farm bill.
What is next for the farm bill and the discussions that may lead up to a new one? Is it moving along pretty well right now?
Well, I haven't heard a progress report this week, but they are actively meeting this week and next. And I think with a new resolve, after we've all witnessed and been horrified by the dysfunction around the budget, I think that people are saying, all right, it's now time that Congress shows it can do its job and it can do the work that people sent them to Washington to do. And so I'm hoping that we'll see that new resolve also evidence itself in the Farm Bill process.
Let's change topics. We've seen the rollout of the Affordable Care Act and the problems with the computer technology. What's the latest you've heard as far as getting things working again, and any advice you might pass along to people trying to get in and sign up?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm so frustrated with the computer problems they've been having. And you've heard that from the president. You've heard that from others, that it's unacceptable and it needs to be fixed. And I know that they're doing a full court press on getting those things fixed. In the meantime, you have to kind of go to, I guess we could call it Plan B, which is at this point the 1-800 number, and to say the important part is getting the information people need to shop to them and helping them get enrolled. And we would love it if that were all being done online through healthcare.gov. But right now, with these problems they're having, there are other resources, including throughout our communities, where people have been trained to help people navigate this new marketplace and help them make their selections. And so that's what we're going to have to be doing now while we fix the demand a fix for these computer problems. It's unacceptable. It's very unfortunate. But, we've got to be resourceful and use the marketplace in other ways.
We heard through network news yesterday and today that several of the members of Congress are thinking that they may have to come back to Congress looking for money to fix the technology problems with healthcare.gov. Question for you is, did the contract with whoever built the website have clauses where you could seek damages if it doesn't work right? A lot of private and government contracts have provisions in there where you can go back and take the money back or have damages taken care of if they don't do the work properly. Any talk of that?
Well, let me just give you my my response. And no, I've not seen the language of the contract, but what I regard is that they were hired to do a job, and that job has not been done, and they shouldn't be let off the hook until that job is finished and it's working. It's working 100%, and so that's my view, and I think that's the responsible policy.
Looking back, a little over a week, the government shutdown ended. You, Senator Johnson, also Paul Ryan, appointed to the committee to figure out the next budget. It's a short deadline, too. Any progress there?
Well, we are preparing to meet, and I think one of the things that I've been doing is, since I serve on the Senate Budget Committee, is sort of reviewing the starting points and comparing the House-passed budget with the Senate-passed budget. There's probably more common ground than one might believe when we start this process, but obviously a lot of differences to work out. But I think we can do it by the deadline. The deadline is December 13th. And if I think about our process of creating that budget resolution in the first place, that was done in a couple of months. We can do this in a couple of months, too.
Back in Wisconsin, at least until the meetings on the budget, or do you have to go back to Washington pretty soon?
Well, I head back next week. And we should begin those conference meetings then.
That's U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us on WSAU.com.